evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting of June 10th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, I'd like to start out tonight by expressing my condolences and sadness. I don't know if all of you are aware, or all of you know, but Kim Dexheimer died. Not sure if it was yesterday or today, but he was a longtime resident. He was the post office
postmaster.
Thank you. My mind just went completely blank. The postmaster, and most people in town knew Kim, and so. Pardon me?
Yeah, it was
I was getting to that. So if you didn't know him from the post office, he was a firefighter and then a fire chief in Roosevelt for a very long time. And, you know, it's sad that he died yesterday. Okay, do you want to say something? Okay. I also wanted to sort of brag. This was an extremely low voter turnout for the primary last Tuesday. You know, I guess there wasn't really anything huge importance on the ballot locally, federally, nationally, I mean, county-wise, state-wise. However, Roosevelt always has one of the highest, if not the highest, turnout in the county. So this year, we had almost a 20% turnout, which sounds terrible, except that the state turnout was 5.4%.
Wow.
So we beat that by almost four times. And also, Millstone's turnout was 3.6.
Oh,
wow. So we had almost a 20%. So we can brag again about having a very active citizenry. And
what do we normally turn out?
Oh, close to, what, 50 or 60%? Depends on, yeah. Which is also extremely high for this county and for the state. Do you want to say
nobody
something,
Mike? It's actually more than that because the denominator, there are council of people who aren't here anymore. Those are other things. So the denominator is artificially inflated.
That's exactly right. I tell that. I'm constantly arguing with Mike Hamilton because he says we have a 20%, and I say, no, there's so many people on that list that are deceased and have moved away, so it's even higher. I'd like to remind everyone that we are having an open house here at the Borough Hall on June 27th. It's a dual purpose. It's open to all the residents. We'll have refreshments June 27th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's a Thursday. And, Joe, you have to be here. I don't care if your son's getting married.
My son's getting married. I'll stop it.
Okay.
Bring him here.
The
mayor will do it for you.
Okay.
So, that's right. So
we'll do it free.
Yeah. Oh, well,
sure.
In that case.
Anyway, there's a dual purpose. It's to show so the residents can see our new borough hall and how clean and fresh and bright it is. But also, as all of you are probably aware, that Bill Counterman retired from the post office after I don't know how many years he's worked there. But so it's a goodbye party for him and also show everyone the borough hall. Okay, next I have as of now, the Borough Hall will be closed on Fridays until Labor Day, through Labor Day week.
Oh, nice.
So just be open. So if you have any business to do at the Borough Hall, please do it Monday through Thursday. Well, actually, everyone here has a key, but if you need Anna or anyone, it's
good. Joe just said, you should have a job like this.
No more memory.
No more Fridays.
I'm fatigued.
I think also... It's in the works. I think it's Anna worked it out so that the mayor and council are not going to meet just for July and August for the second meeting of the month.
Amen.
We're going to, yes.
I can eat dinner at the right time.
So I have to do the notice in the
or notice in the paper.
Yeah, Anna and I worked
July
out the other
and August
day.
2nd.
Right, so the second meeting of July and the second meeting of August will be canceled.
No more heartburn that day.
So only the first meetings for July
right,
and August.
Right, for July and August. So we have a little summer break.
Do you know the dates of those?
Well, July, the first, I believe July 10th, is the 4th is a is a Thursday, 5th is Friday, July 8th?
July
8th. Right, we'll have a meeting on the 8th, and then we won't have another one until August, what, the first is a Thursday.
I have a
calendar, like, right in my purse. Okay. The first is isn't August 1st a Thursday? Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Friday's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th.
So it'll be the 12th.
So August 12th will be our council meeting.
August 12th.
Yeah.
And we'll meet the
2nd Tuesday, 2nd Monday.
Right. Right.
July 22nd and August 26th.
Are canceled. Right. So we have, what did we say, July 8th,
August
we have a meeting, and August
12th
we have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Good for us.
Next, I was going to talk about the trees at the cemetery, but it actually now it'll be part of Joe's report. So, well, either way, we have dead trees we have to address, very large, very dead trees that could possibly be create a real disaster here.
Danger to the living and to the dead.
Exactly, and to cars.
And to cars
and
right.
graves. And the last thing, I guess. Maybe just address this to Steve when you do your report. But a resident spoke to us the other day. He lives on Nurko Road. So he was saying that there's huge overgrowth on the curbs, that you can't really see the curbs. I wouldn't say he was complaining at all. He was very nice. I'll give you a list of what he told me. And also, but he was just letting us know. Also, he said there's really low-hanging trees.
On Nurko,
he felt that are a danger.
Like Gold's Field, I think.
Oh, and one of the things he said about the curbs, you can't even see the side of the street at all. It's so overgrown, you can't see where the curbs are.
Right,
and he thinks the storm drains are clogged because of that.
There's a couple of culverts there, and... Yeah, they shoot into the creek out in back of Pine.
And whereabouts on Nurko? Down by where we're going to do the road work or the other?
It's actually where we're going to do the road.
Yeah.
I think he's 7
Nurko or 9, so pretty close to Rushdale.
Well, when they do the road work, they'll find they'll clean it up.
Yeah.
That would be Bob?
Yeah.
Probably,
Bob.
Yeah. How about the people's, not Solaris, I don't know who does it this year, but the ones that do that, could they do it?
Well, it is part of our property.
If
they pave Nurko Road, they're going to clean up the sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for the summer, it might, I mean, imminently.
When are we doing Nurko Road? Is there any date for it?
Not to put on our.
I don't know, yeah.
That's next year, is Nurko Road.
It might be next year.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the summer.
When is the old farm?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we should do.
Anybody have
farm, yeah, farm is targeted for
year after
next. Well, 19, but as far as when the actual work, because we don't even have a date.
We haven't
homestead.
Even done
yeah,
homestead.
Yeah, we don't even have done homestead. Homestead is before farm.
Yeah.
So the last thing, though, and I'm not sure who needs to address this, but he was saying that East Windsor has pretty strict policy of not allowing large trucks on certain roads. So what they've been doing is detouring and coming down Nurko. He said these huge, and he used the word huge, they're huge trucks and they're flying down Nurko Road. He said, and they're really, because it's narrow and you can't see the curb on one side, and if you have to move your car over at all, he said it's a really bad situation. He said these trucks are just flying down Nurko.
Are they doing
now,
coming down Nurko in order to avoid the
yes.
crazy
incident? Mm-hmm. Or to avoid what he said, some of the streets in East Windsor where they're not supposed to be. I never saw a sign in East Windsor that said no trucks, but he seemed to know that East Windsor's prohibiting them from...
They probably have an ordinance
from
certain roads in town roads, the weight limit.
There would be a sign indicating for trucks to go onto NERCO, right, in order to avoid that intersection.
That's five-way, the weird, and then Route 1 and 571,
Yeah, he was corner. Yeah, and he said there. So I don't know, does anyone have any ideas of what, like who would address this or how we would address this?
Should talk to Janice.
Yeah.
Just
a lot
to
of
see
good
what
last
their
time.
Rules are.
Yeah.
Or even Richard Graham.
Well,
he might know because he does.
Don't we have an ordinance where we're not supposed to have trucks down our streets?
Yeah. Carmella might know, yeah, yeah. But
he
as a county
weight
road.
Limit is, I mean.
Are these county roads or
NERCO is, no, isn't NERCO just
our
road?
Road? Yeah. Half hours and half East Windsor.
Yeah.
Or Millstone.
No,
Millstone,
yeah.
That's Millstone.
It's
right.
Not quite half.
And also.
Joe, can we talk to the engineer for the county that
we've been
with? Well, it's not a county road,
would still,
though.
Yeah, that's a, it's not a county
it's
road.
It's our
well,
road.
As far as
I should talk to her again. Anyway.
Mike, don't we have a resolution that you can't have a truck on a Roosevelt Street also? I was always told that when I first moved here.
We have trucks going to the sewer.
An ordinance or a resolution?
An ordinance?
Yeah.
It would be an ordinance.
There used to be signs around town when no trucks, but we don't have those signs anymore.
We got them going to the sewer plant and the water plant and to the water tower.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the roads.
Because that's the whole reason trucks are supposed to be on Oscar.
Yeah. We'll look into that.
All right.
We'll try to figure out a way to address it.
Yeah, he said it's a.
Is that a tractor trailer trucks?
Yeah, tankers. We have tankers going back and forth here also.
Well, tankers coming for the sewer.
The sewer and the water.
But that's different than a tractor trailer truck.
Yeah,
they have tractor trailer trucks going down there for a while.
I haven't seen that, but I'm not on NERCO.
NERCO, right. He just said they were huge. Huge trucks that
construction.
A lot of construction trucks.
I know we used to. We were told you weren't supposed to have trucks. That's why there was Oscar. That was the truck route.
Yeah.
Because there's another truck, gigantic truck that comes down from the estates every day onto Homestead and flies down Homestead and doesn't use Oscar.
Tractor trailer.
It's that plant truck, Bonnie plants. And he's probably doing 40.
Box truck.
Really? That's a so. I didn't think box trucks were that large.
Yeah.
That long.
Yeah. Anything's a box truck that
looks like a box, right?
Right.
Mike.
Yeah. Just suggested that doing some work on roads, you talk to Millstone, since
that is mostly
Roosevelt just goes right into Millstone.
Right.
You can't get out of without going to Millstone.
Right.
So coordinate with them, see what their do they have an ordinance. Make sure we have the same ordinance.
Just extend the ordinance to the Roosevelt. So.
Okay. All right. That's the end of my
report.
Come to public comment on agenda items only. Any comment? Oh, I'm sorry. Open the.
First, you gotta.
I'm gonna open the floor to public comment at 7:16 p.m. And I'm going to close it at 7:16 p.m., there being no comment. Okay, we've come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion for the May 28th, 2019 regular council meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essicar?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Perlman.
Yes.
Okay. No correspondence for this meeting. We'll come to ordinances. Second reading and public hearing on Ordinance 19-04, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending the Borough Code to include new Chapter 18, fiber optic cables. I'd like to open the public hearing at 7:16. Does anyone
I have a comment to ask.
Well, it's the public, Lou, so wait till I guess wait till I close the public portion.
Does Jerry have any comments?
Okay, is So I'm going to close the public hearing on ordinance 19-04 at 7:17.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 19-04.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
Did we ask them for any fees?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we getting any?
$2,500.
Yes.
We getting what?
That's in the resolution.
Yep.
Okay.
If we're allowing fiber optics and whatever to travel through town and wires and whatnot, and we're voting to approve that, does that open the door or make us vulnerable in any way to like this whole 5G situation? I don't know if anybody's read about it, but, and I've read just a little, so I really don't know very much, but apparently it is a health concern. If you have these transmitters or whatever every few hundred feet, so I think that the idea is eventually to have 5G everywhere, which would just kind of fill the air with who knows what.
Personally, I agree, but from what I understand, we didn't have a choice, right? They can come in whether we
right.
want them to or not.
Well, the fiber optic thing is probably not a big deal, but I'm just wondering legally whether we're opening the door. Like, if we let them in, does that mean that 5G can just come in right on their heels and infiltrate the town?
Not at this time. This is an ordinance that would have to be discussed by the council. And at this time, this is what we have. The ordinance that was drafted. As far as, potential liability, there's always liability with anything that goes through a town, right? The good thing is that they're required to maintain $1 million general liability insurance as per the ordinance. They'll have to provide proof of that insurance that they do carry. As far as, what is emitted through the, through the air.
Well, the fiber thing is not, I don't think it's an issue. Maybe it is. I haven't looked into it. But I know 5G is an issue regarding health.
Well, this doesn't have to do with 5G, and I've read similar articles.
Right, but I guess my point is that we're allowing some company who into the town with their running their wires, and whether or not just doing that opens
the floodgates. You're saying that anyone could just come in and make that application.
Yeah.
The answer is no, because we're passing an ordinance to allow this.
Just this
fiber optic cable. Which provides for a one-time. I'm sorry.
We have fiber optic already. Verizon is there. Yeah.
I'm sure this is just
optics.
I didn't draft the ordinance, and I wasn't privy to the conversations that was to have between the parties. But they're doing an engineering and an escrow. The engineering report would state what their position is, but. There is a one-time permit fee that they're paying to the borough of $2,500, which is, income to the borough. There's a right-of-way use agreement that was properly executed by the applicant.
Went to the state. They've got some.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be approved by the state, to even be a qualified
I would think
provider.
I would think when 5G, if 5G comes here, and there's question about a health issue. We can
absolutely.
We can question them and not let them in until we're satisfied.
All right. Well, that answers my question. If that's true. Okay.
Just from what I know.
I just thought we couldn't keep them out. We could.
But
well, so they have a $1 million
setting it out
liability
insurance.
Later. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, technically, it sounds like they're going to run a wire. Optical cable, which does not necessarily radiate.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Cross
so
fiber.
And that would just be passing through, probably on 571. So
it's
just
not going down the streets.
There's no reason for it to go down.
Oh, through the resolution.
Yeah.
Unless they sell somebody a contract.
Unless somebody
in
town uses
come into town and start selling again.
But this sounds like a trunk line going from here.
Can we do a roll call?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is to adopt.
To adopt.
The ordinance.
The ordinance only.
Right. Only. Yeah. We're only setting it in place. Right. The ordinance. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Ordinance 1904 passes. All right, we come to resolutions. 19-76, payment of bills.
I'd like to make a motion that we pay the bills.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Oh, wait, who was that?
I beat him.
That was you, right, Mr.
Trammell?
Yep.
Okay. Any discussion?
Ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yep.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Resolution 19-77, hiring of seasonal employees for the Roosevelt Recreation Summer Camp Program. Have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the employees for the summer camp program.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Who's doing, we're not doing, are we doing the hiring?
No, Eric Schubiger does, but it's still
on behalf of the council.
Yeah.
So we have the liability, as it were.
Yeah, we have to approve it.
Yeah.
What?
We have to approve the employees.
Okay.
And they're listed on that resolution.
Who's listed?
The employees.
All the employees.
Oh. He does an interview.
And the hourly wage that we're paying.
Resolution.
It's
1977. Good year.
Yeah. You know what? While you're doing that, I can just show you mine quickly. So he interviews them?
Yeah.
And he's our recreation director.
That was not an approval. I don't know most of them. To approve or not to approve. I just wanted to know who's involved, that's all. Not who, but who's...
We're essentially approving the expenditure based on those rates for those particular employees.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Resolution 19-78, authorizing the budget to be read by title only.
I'd like to offer 1978.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
What does this mean? It means you're going to cut your meeting down by about 30 minutes so the entire budget document doesn't have to be read.
Yeah. Otherwise, we have to read this whole thing into the record.
Word for word. That's reality.
Thank you, Mr. Stankiewicz.
Mr. Bowen?
Yep.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
I just want to add that we're still going to have a budget hearing. This is just the fact that you don't have to read this whole thing into the record.
Normally you would. Normally you would.
No.
By
you're
title
only.
Yeah.
So last year we did.
No. We passed the resolution every year,
we're
so that we
every
don't
year.
Have to do that. Otherwise,
just pass it once and for all.
You could do this
in perpetuity.
You could read this as a filibuster, so you could be here all night long.
Sometimes torture the borough clerk and make him or her read the entire thing.
And then they bring blankets and milk and cookies for the residents falling asleep.
And they resuscitate everybody after the meeting.
What are we up to?
Resolution 1979.
Self-examination.
Did I ask for a motion?
No. We didn't get that far, so you've got to read it. And
Resolution 19-79, authorizing self-examination of the 2019 budget. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Yes, what does self-examination Never mind.
In the absence of, the state rotates the municipalities every 3 years. In the absence of a detailed review by the State Department of Community Affairs, we are allowed to adopt a resolution signed by our CFO that the budget and the entire process is in compliance with the regulations that review the budgets from the State Department of Community Affairs. So we are, okay. Our budget's not complicated. There's no complicated things on it. So in good consciousness, I reviewed it with George. I went through everything. And now, a town, in all honesty, you really wouldn't want them to review it. So if you have the option to self-exam, you would. Okay, like I said, it's not a lie.
And we all have the ability to self-examine it ourselves anyway. I mean, if we want to.
Yes, but
if we want
to. Body as a group needs to approve that.
I
can move forward.
And years ago, the state would review every budget,
yep.
Every year, but then they don't have the staff. So I guess what I mean.
Right, and then they would wait till 5 to 5 to send in the order to the CFO the comments, in which case you don't have time to react,
right.
In which case it delays your budget another month. You need permission to adopt.
And if something goes wrong, he goes to jail.
Right.
He's got the license. Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essakoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
19-79 passes. Come to resolution 19-80, approving a rights-of-way use agreement with Cross River Fiber, LLC, for the installation of fiber optic cables on existing utility poles in public rights-of-way. Have a motion?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second that.
Discussion?
And just so you know, that attached to the resolution is their contract.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Attached to the resolution
is their contract.
Is their contract.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essakoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, 1980 passes. We now come to the public hearing on the adoption of the 2019 budget. I will open the hearing at 7:30 p.m. Any comments or questions from the audience? Jerry and George, do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Well, wait, this is the public part, so we can do ours on the discussion part. Okay, there being none, I close the public hearing at 7:30 p.m. Let the record reflect that there were no comments or questions from the public.
Should I make the motion to approve 1969, the adoption of the 2019 municipal budget?
Okay.
I will.
Do I have a second?
Second. Let Louie have this one.
No, you can have
it. Okay, I got this one.
Okay, now discussion. Or Mike, do you want to present it first, and then we can have discussion? Or
yeah, do that.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a short statement on the budget. I've been around a lot of budgets. I've participated in planning them for years and years, both on the school board and on the council. This is a very prudent budget. We've had a bunch of finance committee meetings. Joe is on finance, and Lou and myself, and also with the CFO, George Lang, who's here tonight, too. And I thought they were very productive meetings. And basically, we are planning and continuing to make improvements and repairs in town. Not just repairs, but improvements. So we're moving ahead with the direction that we have been moving. That's all reflected in the budget. And we're doing it with no increase in the municipal tax rate, which I think is really, it's a challenge to do that, to really move ahead and make improvements, but keep taxes stable. And they've been at the same rate for 3 years in a row now. So I think that's a good thing.
I thought it was even longer.
Well, it's varied a little bit, but I think. But I think it's been the last 3 years, hasn't it, Ben? I'm pretty sure. So there's been...
It's in the document.
Yeah, there's been no increase in municipal taxes, but we are the collection agent for school taxes, too. And the school tax rate is going up. I'm not exactly sure how much. But so taxes, property taxes overall may go up for the average resident, but we've been able to hold the tax rate the same. I think it's been 0.755, something like that, for the last 3 years.
Well, we also had the advantage of losing a, not losing, but having a retired water sewer person, and that lowered our responsibility.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. You're right about that.
But I'd say this year too, we're probably not going to up the water sewer rates or anything like that.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But yeah, 3 years in a row, right?
Three years in a row. And you also cut the amount to be raised by taxation, which is really the barometer, is in the same level. 468,000, 468,000, and 459,000. Yeah. Okay. Just going back 6 years,
it was
644,000, 641, 648, 648, 649.
So it's been pretty flat. Yeah, still.
Your
rateables
are flat as well.
Yeah. and so that's a great thing when you can continue to move ahead with projects and really improving the town and keeping taxes stable. That's good for the average homeowner. Hey. If we can continue to do that, we're doing well. So we're getting a lot done, and it's reflected in this budget. We're going to spend money on things that need to be done without raising taxes this year. We've also made many improvements to our utility systems, and we plan on making more because they need to be made. And again, our utility rates are staying the same as well. So there's no increase in municipal taxes, no increase in our water, sewer, utility rates. That will not continue forever because we have no real way of increasing our revenue, although actually we do have a nice little increase that we're going to be experiencing in that budget with the addition of a new cell phone carrier this year, which will generate about another $40,000 in income into the water sewer utility budget. So that's going to help out on that end.
That's a big to-do, I think.
But again, when repairs to the sewer treatment plant and all cost $500,000, you know, you can finance it over time, but things aren't going to remain the same forever, but we're glad that things are going to remain the same for now. There won't be any increase in municipal taxes or in the water sewer utility rate, so that's great. So our goal is basically to keep the town and the utilities working well. And by not just repairing them, but moving ahead with improvements, I think Borough Hall and the improvements we made here are symbolic of the kind of improvements that we're making with systems, with everything. Our utility systems are operating better than they had in the past. The product is great. The water is clean. It tastes great, which means it doesn't have any taste, which is really nice.
And our clothes are clean.
You can drink the water straight, too. Yeah. You can drink it straight. It's really good.
I don't have to put gin in it anymore. Right.
No chaser, yeah.
No more gin in the water?
What's that?
No more gin or scotch in the water?
No. That's okay. You can drink it straight.
That was my excuse.
No more rust in the water.
And on the other end, on the sewer treatment end, we're limping along with an old plant that's going to need some improvements. But we're doing a good job, and we have some great management in both of our plants. So, and we've been able to keep expenses down there, too, because we contracted out for management, which means we don't have a municipal employees that we had to pay a lot of other expenses, too.
Along with salaries.
Yes, salaries and benefits and all of that. So in the long run, I think we're going to be saving money there, but things
are
going
well. Just a note on the trickling filters, $500,000, that has to happen. Mike Lyon, the guy that runs the sewer plant now says that if the government actually ever gets its act together, that's part of the infrastructure bill that might be able to help us. If the U.S. government ever gets its act together,
yeah,
that would be very helpful.
And Mike said that he's heard that they may be coming up with some grant programs, infrastructure
right.
grant programs.
Right.
And he's going to keep us posted with what he hears on that statewide. And then maybe we could take advantage of that for some of our improvement.
Hell yeah.
But we've done a good job of going out for grants whenever we could. We do most of our road work that way. We go out for grants. We get a sizable chunk of money to do road repairs. And then if there's any additional work that needs to be done, we have to put in our share. But this is a great way of keeping the town running smoothly. Not every town does that. If you ride around some of the towns and you look at their streets, they're not in great shape. They're patched together. They're bumpy. They're not making the same kind of improvements that we are. So overall, I think the budget reflects the fact that we're prudent. We're managing our expenses, I think, fairly very well. In fact, we're watching our dimes and our quarters and our pennies on a daily basis. We have a great finance team in-house and also our professionals who work with us on it. And I think they do a great job. So it's a good budget. I'm glad it's where it is. We're getting a lot done, and we're keeping taxes stable. And without going into any numbers, that's the bottom line in layman's terms.
Those antennas that we put up, that's a yearly fee.
Yeah, $40,000
a
year for
a year. Not a one-time
fee. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
They pay monthly.
Oh, they pay monthly, but not $40,000 monthly.
We'd be in great shape.
Not a one-time fee.
Did we get a good roof deck on here?
Right. So, basically, if anybody has any questions about any particular items in the budget, again, we have George Lang, our CFO, here too, and Jerry Stankiewicz, our auditor, and they have full command of the budget, any of the numbers in there, and we'll be glad to go over that for anybody who has any questions.
I won't. My question has to do with the water and sewer. Now, I don't know if we're mixing apples and oranges, because I know that's a separate account or whatever.
Well, but this is a budget discussion, and that is
right. And you guys are here,
the budgets,
so
yeah.
Throw it out. Now, when we approved the bond for the road and water last summer, that was with the understanding that there was a nano grant associated with the water. At least that was how it was presented. And then since that time, we found out that we didn't get approved for that. So I guess my question has to do with, you know, back when the bond was voted on, you know, currently the cost for the water and sewer bill is $372. Right? So the way it was packaged was that, you know, because of the grant and whatnot, that we would, if there was going to be an increase, it wouldn't go over 400. You know, that sort of was, I think that's an increase of about $100 a year per household. So since that time, I mean, we lost that grant, and we have this $500,000 sewer repair. And I can't remember offhand how much the grant was for. Does anybody remember?
It was for 50% forgiveness, I thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically, on the loan.
So whatever the cost was for the water lines, half of it was going to come from this grant. So whatever that amount is, a couple hundred thousand, I don't know, plus the $500,000 for the sewer thing. So now it's looking like, you know, there's like another $1 million on top of everything. And I'm wondering, where is that water sewer bill headed? I mean, are we beyond like $400 every couple of months, and we're talking higher than that? Or even with all these other contingencies or extra expenses, are we still under that, you know, that cap of like 400, or are we way past that now?
Basically, we'll have to see. I mean, we're doing different. savings in that area, plus you bring us some additional revenue in. And then you're going to have, there is going to be additional debt. And I think it's unavoidable because you have an obligation to maintain your infrastructure. So the savings don't go for foreign office. They could be, but we're trying to spread things out as much as we can and really get a handle on where we are with the new contractors. Now we basically had a year to look at it, and then to get towards the end of this year, we'll see where we see where things are going with that.
I think it's important to remember that that's a whole, that's a system, the utilities budget. There's a lot of expenses that are part of that system, including debt payments for, things that we have to go out to bond for. So if we can control, and I think George is talking about that, if we can control some of the other expenses and make sure that they don't go up or actually go down, we could help offset any bonding costs or debt costs that we're going to incur with this. We don't have the luxury of having a big pile of cash in that account that we could take out, so we don't have to bond, so we can pay for things. We have to borrow the money. But it's a good question. We don't know how all those other numbers are going to play out. And so that budget is always very, very tight. Whenever you add another layer of expense, which we're going to add with the debt payments to the for those bonds, right? Hopefully you can help offset it by controlling some of the other costs and making sure that it doesn't make us go over the top, so we do have to raise utility rates. But it's always tight. It's always like this tight, where you're looking at it at the end of the year, and I think when you look in your budget documents, you'll see that we don't have hardly any surplus. And actually, we could go into a deficit situation. So,
well, I guess
it's tight.
Some of the things that I'm thinking about is, some of these expenses are somewhat optional, like the water lines. Replacing the water lines is relatively optional compared to having to fix the sewer plant. The sewer plant needs to be fixed no matter what. We can't hide from that. We can't put it off any longer. That's like a fixed cost. So, if I knew everything that I know now back when I was voting on this bond, I may not have voted for it, unless you could really assure me that it wasn't going to go over $400 every other month. So, so the bond was voted and approved, and, so I don't know. Is that like written in stone? I mean,
the bond was approved for the full amount, regardless of whether or not we got a nano loan or, 50% off on principal. We already approved it for the full amount, so you can calculate what that cost is going to be.
At the time we had discussion in this room, I believe the ordinance is $715,000 in total. And I believe, assuming 30-year financing, or 20, I'm not sure. We talked about $142 a year increase if we spend every dime.
A year.
If we spend every dime of the 715. It was $12. I remember it was $12 a month.
That's, I remember, that was the top. That was the very top.
Right. If we spend every
dime,
no grant, no forgiveness, $715,000. Okay, so that was our ceiling. It was $12. And again, I don't remember. I have a piece of paper and a folder in my office. I know we did a 20-year amortization and a 30-year amortization, which you can finance over. So yes, Steve, there was. The other thing that's that should be known is the current fund taxation is subsidizing the water sewer budget as well. Okay.
What is
the current fund is subsidizing the water sewer
budget. There's two separate bank accounts. There's a current fund, which is everything other than water and sewer.
Right.
And there's the water sewer account.
Right.
The water and sewer account is actually running at a slight deficit.
Right.
And so the current fund is loaning it money. The other account is loaning it money.
Actually, what it is in order for us to adopt the budget, budget has to be in balance with legal revenue line items, okay? So in 2018, the subsidy budgeted was $82,000, but we only needed $1,400, okay? Mm-hmm. So in 2019, the subsidy is budgeted at $70,000. You may not need it, okay? So when we talk about
the cost of the 715, also keep in mind, taxation is also financing and subsidizing the water sewer fund, which is really supposed to stand on its own with what we call user rates. Okay, so, but it's allowable, it's legal. After so many years, you may get a nasty grant from the state that says, hey, guys, enough with it. So, but if they understood the nature of the town, in this town, like other towns in Florence, most of the taxpayers are also what we call rate payers. So it's still coming out of the same pocket. So, but there may be a matter of time before we get the nasty grant from the state that says, hey, raise the rates, stop subsidizing it. So, but, yeah,
but
right.
It's only
so just so you know those facts. Yeah.
But it's only $1,400 last year.
Last year was $1,400. That's so, on sheet 34 of the budget document.
If I had to guess, I would say it's a good thing it would probably be higher this year because we don't really have any. One of the things that go into your regenerating surplus or operations is what's left over in the prior year budget. Instead of the budget, we have some money coming back in.
Right.
18 budget was really nothing, hardly a left. That's basically nothing.
And we had overlapping
so
things.
The one thing that's going to help us is with our projected revenues coming a little higher. Now, one of the things that's going to help us is going to be the
cell tower.
Cell tower.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't think it's going to be 1,400. I think it's going to be a bigger number. It's not going to be 70,000. Though.
Right.
I don't know how it could be.
Also, at our last finance meeting, I produced a different set of numbers from Carmella about all of the above, Homestead Avenue, the drainage and paving and the parking lot here and stuff like that. And the numbers were seemingly substantially lower than all of the added up numbers from all of these different things before. And it seemed like it was all inclusive. So have you spoken with Carmella about that at all?
No, I have not.
Okay. It just seems to me that with everything done, it would still be less than $750,000.
Oh, I would say that mark, and normally, I mean, I guess our history with Carmel is that these projects almost always come in lower than the original estimate. And I think part of the process when you're applying for loans or grants, whatever, you want to have the highest number, but then when reality comes in, it's going to be lower.
But this one also... This one also included drainage off of Homestead behind Borough Hall and out to 571 and the repaving of the Borough Hall parking lot.
Yeah, so which we're doing separately.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with water, so.
Right, but it was all in that package of that number.
But not 715, not the paving of the parking lot would not be in the 715.
That's... You should look at that again. That was paving for the parking lot.
It might have been in the total package.
In the total package,
NJI
yeah.
Bank will only finance the relevant water.
Well, they'll only refinance portion of it.
We'll
but
have to kick a few bucks of our own money, I think, on that one.
Yeah, and we always have. And
taking advantage of the bidding and the
Absolutely, because you're packaging more things for a contractor to do instead of going to five different contractors.
Right.
So,
So, I think that's worked out well. Yeah,
we're
tight, and you don't have any new users, so.
Yeah, well, we have a fixed tax base.
All you do is watch expenses and
if we build monthly.
Can we get more carriers? That would be nice.
200.
We need more cell phone carriers in town. But
maybe next year.
We're only going to keep merging.
Yeah, that's true.
Until they get the second bill.
Yeah. But one of the things is I think we have to be really look at the age of our water lines and sewer lines and take a close look at it and really think, you know, is it optional or isn't it that you replace water lines that are how old? 60 years old? They weren't designed to last.
60 or 83?
83
years old.
More like 80 years old.
Yeah.
And in those days they weren't made the way they are now to last a lot longer. We when we looked at the rubberized ones that they put in now that are thick, and East Windsor had them out on a table, and you could look at them. Those will last 100 years, and they flex. So, you know, that's the way to go. And I think I think we really have to kind of do this on a rolling basis. And now I don't think anybody wants to spend that kind of money on what's under the ground there, but I think...
Well, no, I agree with the whole argument
That,
you know, the pipes all need to be replaced.
Well, also, we're excavating the street, so as long as you're excavating the street. Otherwise, when it's time for them to go, we may have just repaved a year or two before, and now we have to dig up the street again to replace those lines.
Yeah, that argument is okay. You know, I don't buy into it too much, mostly because, you know, that can apply to any street in the whole town. You know, so if let's say we repave Homestead and not replace the water. Well, now it's on the same playing field as every other street in town, because the Homestead pipes are not any worse than any other street in town. So, you know, I'm saying that, yeah, we need to move ahead with replacing water pipes and working on the water sewer system, the whole thing. And there are priorities in that process. And at the top priority, it looks like to me, is the sewer plant repair for $500,000. As even more of a priority than replacing any water pipe that's currently working, you know, but, you know, it's under consideration because we're doing the road. So, you know, that's the, I guess, the gist of my point is, you know, we're doing, when we voted on the bond, we didn't know that there was a $500,000 thing going on with the sewer plant. We didn't know that we were going to lose the nano grant. And, you know, on behalf of the people who live in town or on fixed incomes and who are looking at that water bill very closely, you know, what can we tell them about where we stand right now with the bond for the water and the sewer plant repairs and not getting the grant? You know, how is that going to affect the monthly water bill? And, well, you know, can we just say, well, for this year it's okay, you know, but next year we might get clobbered?
Well,
you know,
I think Jerry just said $12 a month, right?
If we spend every dime of the 715, we never all disclose at the time, because we know we had lengthy discussions,
right,
and it was $12 a month per EDC. Per
what?
Who called?
Dog.
Okay.
But
I don't think $12. Nobody wants to see it go up, but that's worst case scenario is $12 a month, which
you're right.
I mean,
you're right.
Are we still in that range?
I think we are. And you also brought up another good point, and that is a lot of the water mains in town need to be replaced. So it is pretty much equal across the board. Age-wise, you know, where they're that old, you know, they're likely to be in poor condition. But we are doing things incrementally. And we can't afford to do them all at once. So this is part of that incremental thing. We're doing the road work. We're going to do the incremental.
Yeah, I totally agree.
We're sitting here for the completion of the project.
You're
going to
catch hell.
So it could be 40 years.
Right. See, I agree with the incrementalness of the whole project.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like the incremental thing to do is fix the sewer plant.
We have to.
And then the next incremental thing is whatever the next priority is.
I think we need to do both.
Indigestion.
Who wants us to cut this discussion short?
Yeah.
You know, I could give you a good example.
Are you getting a message?
I go into
phone?
New York.
Yeah, somebody's phone chirping
one
or something.
Right.
Somebody's phone.
I'm aware.
It might be. Yours?
No.
You know, Steve, I think basically the foremost obligation of every town is to keep, maintain, and improve infrastructure. And if you don't have your infrastructure,
I know. We've had this discussion before, and I agree. You know, I'm thinking about the incrementalness factor.
Yeah.
You know, like $500,000 going towards the sewer plant is a good incremental move towards replacing it or fixing it. You know, and I just don't see that piling, you know, all these things together, the sewer, the water, and not getting the grant, you know, that seems more than an incremental move. It seems like a big step.
How much was the grant, George? Do you remember how much we were going to get?
$250,000.
It was 50% of the water cost, principal forgiveness.
Well, let me just say this. If the trickling filters were kept in good repair and were repaired 10 years ago, we wouldn't be stuck with the bill now, okay? We wouldn't be stuck with that half $500,000, okay?
If you had a
but they weren't. They were.
If you had a 5 or 10 year plan,
yeah,
or a 15 year plan,
right?
You'd be,
and it's
you'd
well
be
past
in good
its
shape.
Usable life. And really, the job should have been done looking at the usable life of that system years ago and anticipating we're going to need to do that. And probably they needed to do it 15 years ago because that system was breaking down gradually, and it was well past its lifespan. If you talk to Carmela and you look at what she had to say about that system, it is well past its lifespan, and it has been breaking down, and we kept it together with sticky tape and glue and wire ties.
Rubber
and
bands. Yeah,
baling wire and really, all of that sort of stuff just to keep it going. And that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of this stuff really wasn't done on a scheduled kind of basis.
Leave it on.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. The problem is that now we have two big expenditures. We have that $500,000 for the trickling filters, and we're doing what we should be doing with the pipes too. But it's just because it hadn't been done previously, and it is falling on our laps, and we're deciding that we're going to be a council that does that work, and that, you know, make sure that that's done. And yeah, it hurts. It's good, and it will hurt.
All right. Well, in the future, if a situation comes up where the water tower needs $500,000 worth of work, and there's a road getting fixed, and there's this option now of replacing the water pipes at the same time that there's a water tower that needs $500,000, I would say hold off on replacing the water pipes.
Well,
and fix the water tower. You know,
you have to get the water from the water tower to the houses. It has to go through the pipes. They both have to be done. I think it's a mistake to look at it as either or, and one's more optional than another.
Right. So
they both need
to,
they're all
also
part of the system, and they both need to be repaired. And it sucks. Honestly, it's hard when you have two big expenditures like that in one short period of time, because you're going to have additional bonding, and it's going to cost. And, you know, I don't know what you can do about that, because the systems are old. Both of those systems, the trickling filters and those pipes, are well past their life expectancy.
I think what we're really talking about, just let me say, what we need to do is figure a long-term plan for all of the above here. So
yeah,
once we come, you know, once we get a long-term plan and capital improvements line on the budget for the water sewer plant, then we can add on to that and just stockpile the money, but figure out what we need to do and what order we need to do it.
See, because if we don't do that, Joe, if we don't do that,
I understand.
Every time we do a road repair, we're going to be replacing the pipes.
But
and that's going to be the priority.
But Joe,
that might be a good idea. That might be a good idea.
You can't stockpile their money. There's no money to stockpile.
No, I understand.
The budget's like a rock.
Right, but on Steve's point, if we do NERCO Road, there are no water pipes on NERCO Road.
Yeah.
No sewer pipes on NERCO Road.
Yeah.
So if we were to plan that, okay, every time we do a road, we're going to dedicate so much money for pipage and stuff like that. So if we did that for NERCO, then that money would be on the side.
Right.
Not necessarily being stockpiled, but it would be a capital improvement fund for the pipes in town.
Yeah.
Other towns do that. Richard Brand over in East Windsor has got a book about pre-planning and stuff like that.
Yep.
We don't really have the wherewithal here to write a book on how to do that, but we need to consider future planning, and we should
absolutely
be with George and Jerry and with people who have knowledge on what to do and how to do it.
And we've already started that process.
I understand, but the one thing we did was said, well, we're going to take the road up, so let's put water and sewer pipes there. So that became a 50-50, and then it was, okay, well, let's do it. And then, like Steve said, DEP said, well, your trickling filters aren't working,
right,
so we have to fix those. So so maybe this is a one of, but this is stuff that we have to deal with, and we have dealt with other large improvements to the water plant and to the sewer plant as time has gone by. So after a while, we're going to get past all the large emergency repairs, and we're going to be dealing with everyday stuff, like let's fix the pipes when we fix the roads.
Yeah, I have
also, Steve, I don't know if you were here in 92, but remember, at that point, there were many, many improvements that needed to be done, the water sewer plant, and they were not done. The council was reluctant to spend money to raise the rates, so nothing was done. And then the DEP came in. Well, then things started failing, and then the DEP came in and fined us quite a bit for everything that wasn't done. And that's when Roosevelt water bills shot way up, because the council that was in place for a few years did nothing, nothing with improvements or maintaining or updating. And we came in with both failures of the system and fines from the DEP, and that's when our water bill just skyrocketed.
So that particular bond was a couple of million
and
dollars.
And that was a couple of million dollars in 92 that we are still... Right.
It was like six and a half percent.
Right. And that's why our water bill is so high, but that is a direct result of the council taking no action right.
Now,
with our water
You also have to remember that even though we're not getting that nano grant at 50% off, we're still getting what probably is the lowest interest rate we've ever gotten through the iBank on loans, which is what it averages out around 1%, a little over 1%.
A little more.
You know, you also have to factor in.
So, you know, that is, we are getting some benefit from doing it that way, even though we aren't getting what I thought was an incredible deal with the nano grant. But still, historically, if you look at the interest rates, and yeah, we paid over 6.75% for the Farmers Home loan
right.
in 92 to do all that sewer treatment plant.
I remember
6.75%.
Me too.
Now we're talking a little over 1%. So, you know, that's a good rate for now.
Yes.
But it's
so.
Yeah.
Question for George is:
it's rough.
If we waited until January. We're good chance we're not going to raise anything for water and sewer this year. If we wait until January, that'll be a full year of the new people on site.
Yeah, as we get towards the end of the year, we'll have,
right.
you know.
So we'll have a better idea.
Over the year, and then
right.
we'll see what kind of budget's thinking about.
Right. Right off, we have no fines. We've had no fines for
yeah.
a long time.
So we're good there. We'll get the cell tower fee. We'll possibly get maybe a deal with the infrastructure, with the trickling filter.
Well, there's some other things in the works that might bring in some money to the water sewer.
There's
budget.
Other things that might bring in, but also the concept of, you know, the new personnel running the water and sewer plants. I mean, there's $10,000-$15,000 in workman's comp we're not going to have to pay this year because they pay their own workman's comp. So a lot of little things are going to add up as to how they are saving us money, and that won't shake out until the end of the year. So at the end of the year, once we have apples-to-apples comparisons like 2019, 2018, 2017, we'll know what we're saving, how much money could go from the billing towards these bonds and things like that.
Are there any bonds in the water sewer basket? Are any of them, like, finishing up anytime soon?
The 20s, I think?
Yeah.
25 or something like that?
I mean, the Farmers Home's only got a couple more years.
Yeah.
2022. But there's two pieces of the Farmers Home. We refinanced the large one, the smaller one, probably left 5 years. We couldn't refinance that one. I think that's paying off 2022, the 1982 bond.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think that's paying off.
That's small.
Well, Steve, if you look at the first page of the budget worksheet here, debt service is listed there, and that's all the bonds that we owe, the yearly payments on those bonds, I believe. Here.
Steve,
so, yeah.
What you try to do, to your point, though, mm-hmm. is where you see the drop-off in the debt service,
right.
option one is, well, what we I recommend, and I think George works in a bunch of towns like I do, we recommend that you start planning another project.
To use that difference.
Capital
so to minimize,
yep.
You know, you sure, it would be great to do all these projects and get it all done, but you got to watch. It's great to have a capital plan, but really your capital issue rests in where your debt service
as the plateaus and the drop-offs or increases. And that's what you have to look at. And if there's a drop-off in 22, it's not too early to start planning the project. Because you can authorize the project, you can go through all the, you know, gymnastics of getting the contractor done, but the debt service is when the debt service hits. Okay? That's what you got to look at. And if there's a drop-off in 22, right now it's not too early to start thinking about what the project is, because the way it works, the I-Bank and the DDP, I'll give you a second, one of my clients, we started in October of 15. Okay? We're just breaking ground now. And the debt service won't hit for another 3 years, so it's a long process. Everyone here usually in this board, this town, thinks things through and everything, but you got to look at when the drop-offs are. And that's really where you have money. But you're on a plateau for, I can't remember how long, but you're on a meeting. It's on a high level for a while.
We actually started looking at that in our finance meetings and trying to see when
we'll pay
certain
this off
bond
we'll
pay paid off.
Yeah.
And we had a drop
right.
in the amount of debt service overall that we had to pay.
That's how you can plan 5-year plans.
Yeah, and then that's a good time if you want if you have work that you know needs to be done to implement it. So then it's staying plateaued and stable, and you're not having a big increase.
You know, and you have to think of this. This
it's
is not nickel candy. This is big money we're talking about. And every year inflation can start to hurt.
Yeah.
If you did the 19... If you did if you could do this project now, if we're at 1992 when you did the other one, it would be a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, nickel candy goes up to 7 cents also.
Strangely enough, they did the trickling filters in 1992, and so that was 27 years ago. And whatever they use to repair them with is failing now.
And you mentioned the water tower.
Yeah.
And there's been a real issue with that, in that Carmella years ago recommended total replacement of our water tower. The council at the time decided to rehab it instead. And it ended up costing us a lot more than a new water tower would have cost us.
Yes.
And part of the reasoning was that we don't want to spend the money on a whole new water tower and all of that. Why can't we just fix the old one?
It was something else.
Yeah, it was something
it
else.
Was the appearance. This is an old shanty cap water tower.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are not too many of them. And we wanted to be different. We wanted to have this. And it cost us a fortune to do it.
Yeah.
It was the dumbest damn thing we ever did.
Yeah. So, there's no easy solution to having an old antique town where the infrastructure is really old and it's going to fail.
You can only ignore it for so long.
We were really lucky this past winter.
No water main breaks.
We had no water main
no.
breaks. I mean, that's like.
Or spring.
I don't know
when
why
the
that
temperature
happened,
changed.
I'm
yeah.
just glad it did. But no, there's no easy solution to it. But the timing, you're right. The timing is lousy. To know you have $500,000 to repair at one plant, and then on the other end of things, on the water end of things, you're replacing pipes, and that's costing a lot too. It's the double whammy that you get with that.
And
hopefully, we can avoid.
Essentially, though, the new cell tower, wouldn't that be paying for the bond anyway, when you look at it?
A piece of it.
As long as other expenses don't rise, too. Again, it's a whole system, you know.
Right. No, understood. But, I mean, at 30 grand a year for
40
years,
40.
And I mean, that's...
It helps with the...
And as
right.
I said, I think there'll be some additional revenue in the near future.
So we don't know until this year is over as to where all the cards fall.
We don't know any year.
Yeah,
until we start, and that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, we start looking at that budget, and it's scary every year. It's
there's always something.
It's a closed budget. We have no. We're not developing the town. We're not building. We're all built out. So we're not adding more users who can help defray the cost, right?
What you see is
so
what you got.
We only have a fixed amount of people chipping in. So if the costs go up, that goes up. Their share goes up, and that's something that not every town has. You know, some towns are developing, and they're adding more users and defraying the cost in that way.
I agree with what everybody's saying. It's just that, I agree with the incremental movement towards resolving all these problems. And it just doesn't seem incremental at the moment. It seems like a huge step. And I'm just wondering whether we had any options to reevaluate that whole situation and whether or not to, and make it more of an incremental rather than a huge step. But it seems like with the income from the cell tower and some of these other things, maybe some money for infrastructure, that maybe it can offset some of this stuff that has been concerned
about. Yeah, but I mean, increases are really inevitable. I mean, again, you have a fixed group of ratepayers, and your expenses are always going to go up. You just try to control it as much as you can. Hopefully, maybe like an infrastructure grant, that would be great. I mean, Roosevelt should be top of the world. The federal government created this town.
Yeah.
They
pull that. That's part of the problem. They crapped on us, mm-hmm. and they split, and now we're stuck. Because the sewer plan is an 80-year gig, okay? They are in the pipes, and we're not even at the 80 years yet, and it started to fall apart about 15, 20 years ago. Somehow, we got to get moved up on the priority list only because we're one of the 30 or 31 towns nationwide that got just, okay, here you go. Now we're out of here.
Goodbye.
You're on your own. Have a nice life.
Yeah, I think we need to go to the state. We need to say, why were we ranked 4 of 7 or whatever?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all, and I think we need to advocate to get the nano grant, even though they denied it initially. I think
you
we need
to... You know what they do? I had this happen to two other clients. We had a meeting on a Friday last July at a place where the nano grant did not hear. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a bottle of anything. And their job at the IBANC is to promote the nano grant, and we ended up with nothing. A small town.
Yeah.
So we incurred 80,000 engineering fees and got nothing. They BS too much.
I think
and by the way, the nano grants are designed for towns like this.
Yeah.
We knew that.
They're not designed for Monroe.
Well,
that's why we were assured. We were
that's
pretty
the point
certain.
I made that point along as soon as it happened. How did we go from number 20 or 21 or whatever we were to 477? We went right into the toilet.
On the nano grant?
Yeah, we were number 407.
Yeah.
Because it's designed for little towns.
I know.
Right.
I heard something
about 100, maybe there's only 50 little tiny towns like
that. But the big towns are taking all the money.
Yeah, and I heard something about they're concentrating on the towns that have lead in their water. And
that's another problem elsewhere.
That's what I heard. Anyway.
But that's another way of going. I think we should press them on it. And
so what's the process?
Did we ever talk about a meeting?
Demand a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. The
Chris,
yeah.
I don't know.
Chris Smith.
That's the process: is to go after them and to advocate, and for us to say, please, in writing, explain why we were ranked number 407. I want to know the other 406 towns that were ranked above us too. I want to know what the criteria was for it.
Right.
And maybe they come back and reconsider and say, maybe we could do something because, we miscalculated. They miscalculate.
So who does that?
Us.
Who's we?
That's
Carmelo.
You.
Carmelo.
You. You're interested
like
in that money, right?
Yeah. Well, wouldn't Carmelo, as the engineer, question why the grant got changed?
All of us.
I mean, there would have to be probably one of the people from the council and me and Carmelo and George, like a sampling of them.
Well, could someone write the letter and we could all sign it?
To ask for a meeting. I think it wouldn't hurt to ask for a meeting.
Absolutely.
You've got to ask for a meeting.
You got to put their feet to the fire.
So that would be Kathleen to write the letter.
I also think it couldn't hurt to ask for a meeting with the federal government, with the senator, because we have been left high and dry.
Yeah.
I think we should ask Anna to write a letter. We should ask Anna to write a letter, and we should all be in back of the letter. We should all sign it.
We should ask all of our citizens.
To sign it also, a petition. Like, what do you mean by this?
Petition and say, explain to us. Here's the program. It was designed for small towns like us.
Yeah.
Why are we being denied it?
Where is the list?
Exactly.
Yeah. We've heard of the list, and of course, the bottom's got to
right. Exactly. Exactly.
I think we need to be advocates for it. I think we need to ask them to explain it.
I still say the best thing is four eyes, you know, me and you.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. We can
put their feet to the fire.
Just to add to this, if you remember when the program first came out, they were totally backwards back then. They would only give principal forgiveness to towns that were financially in great shape.
They need it.
Right. For example, they gave principal forgiveness to Monroe, but denied Heights Town. They gave principal forgiveness to the East Windsor Municipal Utility Authority, which is, you know,
They built new buildings
but
and everything
ones,
with that. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't get it.
What's
yeah.
their
they
what's
totally
the logic?
They fixed it, and now they ran out of money, I guess. I don't know. But
what was their logic behind that?
There was no logic. We only look at the towns that are in great financial shape.
That's
it's backwards.
Well, you don't want to
probably,
it.
Probably
it was a CYA thing because the principal forgiveness was only on the federal portion. They probably didn't want to put themselves in a position where, by the way, it doesn't happen in New Jersey. Towns don't default. Okay, where the town possibly defaulted on a program on the balance of the loan, okay, that was funded by the feds, okay, because they do a lot of follow-up. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes follow-up and checking that they do. But, I, you know, like I said, I think somebody at the iBank was just blowing smoke and saying, oh, how can we get this in? Because, again, you could run up engineering charges thinking that if you, the sooner you get your documents lined up, you move high up in the priority list and then falls apart. I wouldn't even know who died.
Yeah. You know, something like this happened years ago when I think Solar Village applied for a community block grant money through the county to do some rehabbing of much-needed work in some of the units there. And they didn't get the grant, although the grant was designed for projects like that as well as road projects and things like that. And actually, Bob Clark, I'll give him a lot of credit for it, and other members of the Solar Village Board went there and said, this doesn't make sense. Look at the criteria. You know, we should have got the money. And they went after him. And Bob was like, he was dogged about it. And he went after him. And sure enough, they ended up changing things and getting the money.
Yeah. Well, Mike.
He went to the Elder Clifton, who sided with us and went to the rest of the freeholders and persuaded them that they should give us the money, even though the board, the advisory board, had recommended against it because they wanted to give all, at that point, they'd given all the money to the towns and the road projects.
Right. So these things can be changed. You need representatives to go with you and say,
and you need pressure.
Take a good look at it. You need to put pressure on them.
Tell them what happened with the school funding years ago.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a long story.
You can do a quick synopsis.
No, years late in the 1990s, and I think I know George and Jerry will remember this, the state had to come up with yet another way, like they're doing now, to try to decide how they're going to distribute the state money for the schools, which districts needed it the most. So they come up with a district factor grouping formula. And so they had a number of criteria. They looked at all the school districts based on these factors. It was a complex formula, and it was interesting. One of the factors was educational level
of the residents.
People in a community. So if people in a community, you know, had high levels of education, if they had their doctorates and stuff, they were considered to be doctors. And so, you know, you can afford to pay all your money for the school. You don't need the state money. So Roosevelt ended up being classed in a, I forget what the factor group was, but they were
IJ, which was the highest.
IJ, with Rumson,
right.
Fairhaven,
yeah.
Little Silver. This is us, right? This is Roosevelt, you know. So we invited an assistant commissioner of education to come to lunch here, and we wined them and dined them. We got subs from Rossi's Deli, and we sat down under the mural. And we gave them a lunch. We talked to them about our situation. We took them for a drive around town. We drove past all of our little houses into the cemetery. We're very proud of our cemetery. So we show everybody our cemetery.
Yes, we are.
But, and on the way back, after going past the little houses.
And our little barrel hall.
I remember saying to the Deputy Commissioner of Education, does this look like Rumson, Fairhaven, a little silver to you?
He said, or Princeton?
No. Why? And I said, would it surprise you that we're in the same district factor group as them, and that's why we're not getting our funding? He said, you guys are an anomaly. And I said, yeah.
No. High education, really poor houses.
Right. You can't really measure us in a lot of the standardized ways because we're very unique. We're very different.
And we're very small. That's one of the...
We're
very
smart
small,
and small.
And that changes... That really affects...
That's
everything.
A big factor.
That distorts everything. So they ended up restoring some of our aid, I think a fair chunk of our school aid at the time. And because we had to take them and show them our town. And we may need to do the same thing with the IBAN.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
So
I think the best thing is, without starting to, is to actually try and get an appointment to go down there.
Yeah.
And you don't want a conference call.
Yeah.
Because they can hide in the conference. You can go down there, like you said, eyeball, eyeball. Like,
I put their feet to the fire.
What's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
We're going, right?
I want an explanation of why we were dumped like that.
Yeah, we can do that. We can put that together.
They bring far. It's easy.
Bring them to the sewer plant.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
What?
Let them see the sewer plant.
So bring them to the sewer plant.
Yeah.
Show them an antique sewer plant.
Yeah.
Set up by the government to last forever.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the DEP thinks it's very impressive,
you know,
but
so
nonetheless,
yeah.
They can't believe how old it is.
The federal government thought we should have our own utility systems.
Yeah.
They were designed. We were designed to be totally independent, like that, and autonomous.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're paying for it, but they're not paying for it.
Mike, what happened to the other 30 ones that they created? They got the same problem we have.
There were 99.
There was 99 of them.
Yeah.
How many are left, Michael?
All together.
Yeah, all together 99.
I'd be curious to know what.
But I mean,
what
how many are left?
They have the same problem we have with the utilities.
Several, as well, not that many of them were actually municipalities. Many of them were like housing projects. So you have the Greenbelt towns, you have Roosevelt, you have a few others.
There's a couple in California, too.
Yeah, but most of them are not really municipal.
Oh, okay.
Within municipalities.
We're one of the only ones, right, that's
one
left this.
Actually became a separate municipality, separate Greenbelt.
That should really be a plus for us if we're going after the federal government, because they are the ones that created this entity here.
All right, well, can we, let's... All right, let's move on. We can definitely put a meeting together, in a request for a meeting, but for now, can we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Are there any other questions about...
Any other questions about the budget?
I think we should really look at a meeting with these folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know also.
State and
good.
Federal.
Good.
Right, can we do a roll call on adoption of the 2019 budget?
19.
Right, so 19 budget.
Is that what I said?
I thought you said 18.
I thought I said 19.
No.
This year's.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
That's fine.
Lou?
Mr. Esikoff? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
Okay, the 2019 budget passes. We come to reports of committee chairs. Steve?
Let's see.
Talk about trees again.
I guess the only thing I need to mention is...
Oh, let me put on the record this. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Yeah, I just want to give some kudos to Greg Pasile. I met with Alva County Municipal Joint Insurance Fund, toured the whole town. They did an assessment on safety, and everything came back pretty good. The only problem was the masonry steps over at the sewer plant.
Yeah. We've been talking to Earl, I believe, about that. So, you know.
Okay.
Yes, I just want to say that Greg Pasile has been doing a great job staying on top of all the safety stuff. I think he's also going to have a quarterly safety meeting. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
Everything is going fine.
Great.
Thank you, ladies.
Councilmember Dermody, community development, code enforcement.
Yeah, real quick. I brought up a while ago a little project to introduce some seeding to the trail system in town. So I brought that to the Environmental Commission. From there, Heidi Monteleone, who's on RAP, the R project, she liked it, so she brought it to them. They agreed to fund the project, so we're going to start building those chairs. And then we're going to give them to local artists to hand paint, and they're going to be placed along the trail, hopefully ready for the RAP's open-air gallery walk, which would be in September.
So that's new. They're going to build new chairs and then give it to the artists to paint?
Right, they'll be locally painted. Yeah, we'll get a group together to build, and then they're real simple designs, kind of like Adirondack style. And they'll serve as seating and also showcase some local art. So kind of be, some towns do this, it's almost like, some towns do like big cows in the river scene.
Yeah.
And they paint them, it's kind of like the town signature, so it's something we can do in the future and provide seating and showcase some art.
That's about the dog walking and thing.
Michael, you weren't here last meeting, but we had talked about, I think down by Mike's house, although if I guess officially that's not the trail, but it's slippery. There's something with the first few steps or blocks that are deteriorating. Yeah, okay. Okay.
How about that dog ordinance?
Pooper.
Yeah, pooper.
Yeah, Greg was looking into
Greg is looking into how to come up with the ordinance.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, council member...
What was that for? Picking up after your lab?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Council member Hamilton, finance?
I think we've had finance. For tonight?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Council member Trammell, utilities?
We lost power in half the town yesterday.
I can't believe Homestead's always the first to lose it, and I didn't lose it yesterday.
So ton of power lines that were
I
out.
I didn't lose it either.
Greenville Road? Half the road was...
Greenville? Perineville.
Yeah.
half the wires were down.
Wow.
In Perineville?
Frayed.
Really?
Oh, it was...
Wow, okay, yeah.
It's a little freaky.
Well,
I probably hit by lightning.
There was no lightning yesterday. It was a nice day.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. I heard something went...
And the Essam tank, if you make a left up Paradise Hill and then the immediate right down the end of that road, apparently some wires or transformer went down. I chased the truck up there.
Well, a week ago it was like a beautiful, sunny, hot, calm day, and we didn't have any for about 4 hours.
Well, that was a wire.
In Millstone,
the,
I think?
Yeah, coming out of Millstone. So. Yeah. Now, there will be another... JCP&L, like, seminar type thing in Homedale, and I want to go to that one this time.
Try to rewire it.
It's the top lines are high-tension lines, are 12,400 volts around here, and it doesn't take much. If you brush it with a branch, it'll, you know, melt the wire, and so they're uninsulated. So that's part of the nature of this part of the country, when they wired it, how they wired it. So they're not going to do anything about that anytime soon. Some of the newer wires are insulated now on these four-way turn
buckles. Can't they put covers on them?
No. Maybe. But at some point, the sewer plant came on, the generator came on, there was no problem, and the water plant, John showed up there because he saw that there was a problem. His readings on his cell phone weren't intact. So we went there, and the generator there did not kick in. We turned it on manually, and it worked everything out.
We've had that problem a couple times at the water.
Yeah, so GenServe will be here tomorrow morning, apparently. Greg DeSeal will be
Greg's
over there with him.
Meet them.
And we'll see what's going on there. So when one leg goes out of the three, that might be miswired. It was miswired when I got here.
I'm
wondering, beyond that miswiring, what else is going on.
Right.
You know? So maybe we can build that up tomorrow. But aside from that, water's flowing nicely, and the post-filter, the post-chlorine is working nicely. So everything is happening, and we're just worried about the sewer plant over there now. So,
okay.
That's it.
Council Member Vroman?
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently there were two calls about dead raccoons, one back on the 28th, and then again on the 5th.
Were they like in the street or somebody's
just
patio?
Just somewhere outside. So animal control was called. They came out. They took care of them.
Were they rabid?
Well, they do not test it unless it is comes in contact with a human or an animal, and it's then requested. But the raccoons were already dead, and they just get rid of them.
Don't they test dead ones?
I think no. Unless it touches you or your dog or cat or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody was to request it, saying that it was acting erratically and just died, I mean, then you could request it as far as the person reporting it. But if nobody says anything otherwise.
That's interesting. I thought they did that.
I think they've cut back on all the things they used to do.
The reason I say that is that gives you a census of what's going on.
They used to, do you remember on at Monmouth County Health Services on Route 9, you could bring a tick to them and they would test it. Yeah. And then that stopped long ago once everybody had ticks constantly.
And then
we all lined up like this. You know. Right.
You did. You walk in the jaw with your little jaw.
And then we received an email, I believe Steve did, regarding an incident with, I don't know if they're a resident, but there was a death apparently.
Yeah, non-resident.
Right.
Yeah.
About the response of the ambulance service, and the resident just said about needing a paid ambulance service, but this is not something that...
If I can address that.
Yeah.
So a couple of different things. Yes, there was... Someone died on Pine Drive in the street, not a resident, but I believe a woman was with her son, and I guess she felt unwell. They were lost, and she didn't feel well. Anyway, they stopped the car, and I guess she got out and lay down and then died. And it took half an hour for the ambulance to come. But that's because our ambulance, our first aid squad, was already on a call. They had gotten a call a half an hour prior to that. So they were out taking someone to the hospital when this, it's very rare in Roosevelt that you would get two calls within a half hour of each other, but it did happen. But as far as I know that someone's been advocating for a paid squad, I've talked about this before, but I'll put it on the record. The county, Sheriff Golden, is working very hard to implement a countywide EMS service because we're not the only town that's really suffering with. We have a sparse squad to begin with. We often can't get two people here at the same time to go on a call. Or on Tuesday night, we did have two people, and they were taking another person on a call. So the county's aware of this. The towns have been calling the sheriff frantically. So I attended a couple of different meetings. Right now, I think Gloucester, Warren, and one other county have a countywide system that's working beautifully. So they are in the process right now of putting together a Monmouth County system. The EMTs will be extremely well-trained and well-paid, and all of the local EMTs and first aiders in different towns will be welcome to either retrain and join the county system as a paid employee or be a volunteer. But that is happening right now. So to talk about a paid squad in Roosevelt is kind of negated. We don't need to do that because the county's doing it. And
it's very expensive.
Yeah, I don't think we have the wherewithal to even begin to do that. But it's, as a matter of fact, I have a call into the sheriff to see how they progress because the last meeting I went to was a couple of months ago, so I wanted to see, which point where we were. But not only we're aware of it, the county's aware of it, and it's in the works. They talked a lot about Gloucester and Warren and where it is, where they have implemented that, and it sounds like a dream system. I mean, they just have, the calls are answered quickly and by really well-qualified
EMTs. Are they aware of the incident that happened here?
Well, I'm not sure if our first aid squad had to make a report about it because they did come on to see. There was nothing left for them to do at that point by the time they got back from the hospital for the first call. But I, as I said, I have a call into the sheriff because I wanted to tell him about what happened.
You could run into that same scenario
even with a countywide system, you know, God forbid there's like a horrific accident.
Exactly.
You're gonna have
right.
the bulk of the ambulances going there. So if you did have something local, you could still run into the same exact situation.
Well, actually, Allentown responded after half an hour, but right after Allentown, Central State sent their own ambulance.
But this woman was very, apparently very ill.
Yeah.
She was huge, huge woman. Very morbidly obese and probably had a track record for a cardiac condition.
Well, that would also have an impact as far as, you know, how well CPR could even work.
It didn't work.
Well, it didn't, correct.
But
right.
I'm
and the first police, the police got there right away, the first police car. And the policeman tried to put her in his car, knowing that the ambulance hadn't arrived yet, and he was completely unable to do that. And also, I think that she died fairly quickly after getting out of her car.
We're on Pine Drive and when?
Right at the triangle. Like right at the triangle. Yep. I don't know how you slept through it on your where your house
this
is.
This guy was lost and he must have been
her her son was with her, about 18 years old, and he was screaming, which is what brought everyone out of their houses. So you must be a sound sleeper, Joe.
It's a challenge. I might have been here.
No, it was 11 at night.
11 at night.
No, believe me, a couple of people didn't. So many people didn't hear, but
we were under the influence.
Yeah. Right. I might have been asleep. Yeah.
All right. Get control of this meeting, please.
Why, everyone can use a good laugh. Okay, so, Michael, do you have anything as environmental commissioner?
Those will be interesting minutes.
I did have something that I want to discuss, particularly with Jordan Jerry here. One proposal that has been brought up at the Environmental Commission was apparently the state has these grants available for tree inventories. Okay. The only trouble is, and this one, the borough would have to come up with the money first. Now, the amount involved, we talked to a forester, and he was saying he'd do it for $7,000. We don't have any $7,000 in our budget. And if we did, I don't think that would be so high.
Good use of funds.
That we want to do that. If the state was paying, just giving us money up front to do it, that might be something else.
Is it Green Communities grant?
No, it's from the community forestry.
And Michael, I heard that there's a plan, like for when we do take the dead trees down to cemetery, for some replanting of other.
I spoke with Steve Taylor about.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do replanting.
Yeah.
We did some replanting rosebuds at the.
Triangle.
Okay. Yeah, he's talking about spuds and boxwoods or something. So, yeah.
It's called a rose. I don't know what that looks like. A rosebud tree? Is that what it's called?
Redbud or
redbud?
Redbud.
I mean, redbud
red
tree.
Redbud.
To look that up.
Yeah.
Redbud tree.
Those are nice.
Where is that tree?
Okay. They planted them at my triangle.
What triangle?
Homestead and.
No. Where is it? I haven't been in the cemetery for this.
They're nice.
The dead trees are around the grounds.
They're
Look up and you see the dead evergreens.
You're facing the cemetery at 11 o'clock.
Where that singer was.
Any old business at the table?
But next to him is that opera singer that died in the plane crash.
Any old business at the table?
Nope.
Okay. Well, new business, we have the cemetery tree removal. I think we've covered that.
Yeah. No, can the council deliver money to have that done?
So we should hire Alan. I mean, it has to come. They have to come down.
Well, are we sure that it's our responsibility and not the cemetery?
It is not the cemetery. We went over the contract. There's nothing in there about tree removal.
I read that contract, too. Under the standards of service, it says contractors shall maintain the cemetery.
But a tree removal is separate from maintaining. He's talking about graves. Maintaining the cemetery is maintaining the graves.
Yeah. This guy doesn't even mow the lawns there.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
So, yeah.
Yeah, maintaining the cemeteries really means maintaining the graves and the records.
How does one maintain the grave?
Well, when they start, a lot of times they start shifting and leaning and tilting, and he rights them.
Well, they'll sink and you.
Oh, you mean the gravestones?
Yes. Not the actual casket.
We have a separate contractor. We have a separate contractor to go out and mow the lawn there.
I know that.
Yeah, but these
so happens at summer meetings.
I had a problem with one of and I had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This whole thing
Do we want to agree to?
Well, let me just say how it came up. It came up because Ben Johnson, the one who did the DVD on the architecture of Roosevelt, which is not bad, is now doing one on Benjamin Brown, who is the founder of this town, apparently. And we were going to do a shot with Al Heppner talking in Yiddish about what is on the gravestone, and he was going to walk over to it. But you would not want that to be in a documentary if this is the founder of your town, and it's really, really shabby. It's like embarrassing. So I would say if that wants to be in, if those trees are there, we should not do that shot.
Well, even, I mean, it's just dangerous anyway.
It's dangerous, but I mean, it's a matter of pride to me. I mean, this guy founded the town, and you're letting his grave basically
true.
Rot.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
do we want to, we'll call
how
tree
do we,
service.
How do we have a resolution for that, or do we just
no, I think it's just business. Yeah, it's just business.
$1,400, let's pay it, you know, so, yeah.
It's under the amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Can I use this firewood?
Say again?
Probably, because they are really dead.
Well, because there are a lot of people who sell firewood, so maybe...
It's the spruce trees, you know. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of sap in them.
Yeah, they're too sap.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, they'll boil up.
They smell good.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Any... I'm going to open the floor to public comment at 8:45. Does anyone have anything they'd like to comment about? Okay, there being none, I will close public comment at 8:45. Do we have need for a closed session?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
3 seconds.
Meeting is adjourned at 8:45.